Well, like I said, we kind of have been preempting this message a little bit. It's been more or less a secret. And we said it would be special. Someone has said that it is something kind of often requested. And so all of you have been trying to guess it for the last like 2 weeks. And my favorite ones so far, a lot of you are really close. Someone said it must be about Revelation in the end times. Someone said, raise your hand if you think it's that one. I'm not gonna tell you which one it is yet. Okay. Some have said dating and relationships. Some have said faith and politics. Oh, apparently either everyone or no one is hoping it's that one. So sorry, it's none of those. It's actually the significance of animal sacrifice in the Old Testament. Lots of you have read Leviticus. You were confused about the different animal organs that were cut and burned at the altar. So you've asked, well, can we finally just address that? So I picked a random night in April. So that's where we're going. Raise your hand if you thought that's what we were going to do. Okay, two people, three people, four people. Raise your hand if you really hope I'm joking. That's about what I thought. Well, I guess I could pivot to like the second most requested thing, which usually goes something like this. It's very simple. Hey, Jordan, can you talk about dating at Crew? So yeah, I guess we can pivot to the second most common thing. There's a collective sigh that we don't have to talk about animal organs, and maybe a collective grimace because you're like, oh no. And I'm just going to just say Uno reverse. Let me just right out of the gate. Some of you wouldn't even notice that there's an elephant in the room, but I'm going to quickly address the elephant in the room. Should you listen to anything an unmarried 36-year-old man has to say about this topic?
Yes.
Okay, someone said yes. Well, Paul wrote about half the New Testament. And Paul was single his whole life. And he wrote a lot about how Christians should interact and how people should love each other. So I feel like I'm somewhat in good company to address this topic biblically. So here's what I'm going to give you tonight. I'm going to give you kind of three categories. We're going to move through them in this order. We're going to look at what the Bible says about dating. I'm going to give you some reasons from me to you out of love for you to hold off on dating at your age.
Amen.
All right. And then I'm going to give you a third category. What's required if you are going to date at your age? So what the Bible says about dating, reasons to hold off on dating at your age, and what's required if you are going to date at your age. So first, what does the Bible say about dating? Truthfully, nothing. The idea of dating does not show up in the Bible. You will not find words like boyfriend, girlfriend, going out, or dating. And dating dating as we know it in our culture is a relatively new thing in human history. And so if you're in seventh grade and you're in here, you're like, it's like you walked into the wrong movie theater and you're like, well, this isn't Incredibles 2. This is for you too. There's a reason why I have all of you in here. And it's not because I'm going to encourage you seventh or eighth graders, like you need to be like high schoolers and start, considering who you're going to date and all that. No, I do want you to be equipped. And I think some of you probably already being pressured at some point by your friends, directly or indirectly, to be dating someone. So this is for everyone in this room. It's for all of you. In our culture, dating is this kind of loosely committed relationship where you get someone you like to make you feel good. That's kind of all it is. You can disagree. That's totally fine. I notice I'm not quoting a lot of scripture here to back this up. This is my argument to you based on scripture and also being, for most of you, old enough to be your dad at this point. Don't let that weird you out. My argument is goes something like this. Hey, would you go out with me? Why? Because I like you. It's like, okay, I guess I like you too. Sure, sweet. Okay, boyfriend, girlfriend, that's it. Loosely committed, pretty low barrier to entry kind of relationship that is more or less about, according to our culture, forcing someone you like to be exclusive to you so that you feel good. Having their time, attention, closeness, it feels good. especially when that person is exclusive to you. Because this is my argument to you. Dating in our culture, in this time and place, is ultimately about you. It's in the subtle things we say as a culture. Again, this is not an accusation at you. This is talking about our culture, which we are a part of, while recognizing we don't want to submit to it at the same time. This is just, I'm painting with a broad brush here. So don't get mad at me yet. It's the subtle things we say in this culture. It's things like, I want to get married, rather than I want to be a husband. It's things like, I want to have kids, rather than I want to be a mother. I want to get my degree, rather than earn a degree. I want to get a car so I can do what I want, rather than I want to work for a car. I want to do what I want, rather than I want to do what is best. I want to do what is right. Look, for all of the noble causes, good advancements that have come out of Western culture, and there are many, most of which are directly influenced by the very Bible you have or one that is around you right now, for all the good things, there is also a deep sense of individualism in our culture that quickly kindles the flame of deep selfishness. So if the Bible doesn't talk about dating, if it doesn't use those words, if it doesn't use the words we use, what does it say? Well, just because for sake of time tonight, this is not going to be hours long, I've got to kind of caveat this a little bit and kind of narrow in our focus for tonight. I'm only going to be addressing the topic of dating here as it relates to two Christians dating. If you're concerned about things outside of that camp or have questions, that's why your leaders are here. That's why I'm here. But just for the purpose of tonight, I'm only just kind of homing in here on the topic of two Christians dating. So if you were to date and you are a Christian, I'm assuming when we're talking about the concept of dating, you're only talking about dating another believer. So what does the Bible say then about treating fellow Christians? Well, lots of things, right? There's a lot. You could do a whole Google search. If you were to just Google search for like the one another's, there's a whole laundry list of them. All very good things that we are to do to each other. If you are a Christian, you do to other Christians. Things like serving one another, forgiving one another, and of course, loving one another. But here's where we're going to focus. I'm going to give you just one very small passage for us to chew on. And this is Romans 12. And in verse 9, it says this: let love be genuine. Abhor, which just means hate, strongly hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Okay, I'll give away a prize right now. I don't even know what the prize is, but I'll give one away. If anyone knows what the original Greek word is there for brotherly affection. Oh, I know. Yeah, you're close. Somebody said it.
He said phileo.
Phileo, yes. What's the other half? Philadelphia. Yeah. It's the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia. Literally, brotherly love meaning loving each other like siblings. So remember what we just said. If you are a Christian looking to date another Christian, ladies, would you not be looking to date your brother? Guys, you would be dating a sister, yes? Don't let this weird you out. Because if there is one family of God, many siblings, and you date and marry a Christian, are you not pursuing a sibling in Christ? And so again, don't let this weird you out, because in God's original design, when Adam and Eve were made, their children married. It was not a problem yet. It was not weird yet. There were no issues yet. It was not until many, many generations later, the deterioration of the human condition, that God implemented a law to not marry inside your own clan because of the genetic defects that came with that. That's what happens when the entire world is flooded and you have one family left. Genetic diversity is lost and you get more mutation. So that's more science than you needed. But in God's original design, this was not a problem. And in God's redemptive design, this is not a problem. So don't let it weird you out. But if you've been adopted into God's family, you are in the perfect family, right family. And you have been made siblings with each other, not by genetics, but by legal adoption. Not by blood, but by Christ's blood. And so how do you love someone like a sibling? Think about it for a second if you have siblings. How do you love someone like a sibling? That means you treat them like family. You treat them as an equal. They're not a subject or a servant to meet your needs. They didn't make a commitment, a deal with you, right? There's no exclusive deal that they were going to give you time and attention and closeness to meet your needs. In fact, they made no deal at all. Neither did you. You were brought into the family by the mercy of your mutual parent, the father who set his love on sinners. And by the obedience of your elder brother who sacrificed himself for you. So if you have siblings at home, they're not there to meet your needs, right? I'm sure you all agree with that. They're not there to meet your needs. So what are they there for? Well, they're there to grow with you. It is the same for the family of God. And so again, as kind of a preamble to all this, if you came in here tonight and you have dated, you were thinking about dating, you were currently dating, and to you, dating is much like the culture's idea, then I can almost guarantee you are going to use that person to meet your needs. If you do not see them as first and foremost a co-adopted sibling in Christ with whom you grow together as a family, as a building, as a church, you will use them. And so I'm going to get to a good definition. I'm giving you a lot of negative up front. Bear with me. I'm going to give you a good definition of dating a little bit later, because I do think there is a good one. We're going to redeem this. If this feels heavy, we are going to end this on a redemptive note. But first, let me give you some reasons to put off dating. So if I've kind of mentioned the first part, this is the second part. Here's my reasons for putting it off until you graduate. In general, if you ask me, I'm going to say I am against dating in middle school and high school. Especially middle school. Now, I guarantee you someone, I kind of thought about this. I'm like, someone might challenge me on this and say like, but back in the day, people dated young. They got married really young. And yes, you are right. In ancient times, it was not uncommon to be married at your age. All of your ages. Marry the mother of Jesus, probably around 14, give or take. So does that mean you should date at 14? Well, part of why everyone got married young was for very practical reasons of survival. The family was at the center of everything. You often didn't leave the house and move 1,000 miles away. You would just kind of build onto your father's land. You would stay near the family. The family mattered more than individual desire or aspiration. And if you had a family business and you worked a farm, whatever it was, which was most families, they worked kind of subsistently to provide for themselves, then you needed to have kids as soon as you can. And you typically needed to have lots of kids because child mortality was sky high. A lot of babies simply didn't make it because of disease or deformity or infection. So it's really only in the last 100 years that it's become this inconceivable tragedy when a baby or young child dies very early in life. Even in as far back, not that long ago, 1950, the global mortality rate for children under 5 throughout the world was as high as 50%. In the U.S., 29 out of every 1,000 babies born didn't make it. And so now in 2026, that number is remarkably low, all thanks to God's grace, modern medicine, and a very high value of human life. And it's not about their utility, but their dignity, their image-bearingness that matters. So again, I'm giving you all that, not to get too dark on you here, but you can't make that argument. You can't say, well, in history, people married young, so we should date young. Because again, dating is rather new on the scene, and people got married for reasons you probably would not like to entertain right now. So people married young because it was how they survived. And I'm sure none of you is looking for a mate out of sheer survival right now. You might feel like it. Promise you, you're not. Now, people still cared about who they married. Like, it still mattered. Relationships did involve some attraction. But nowadays, this is my issue with dating as from a cultural standpoint and why I'm advocating strongly to you to put it off until you graduate. Dating nowadays is a practice that detaches attraction from obligation. It detaches emotion from commitment. It's all about how someone makes you feel. So let me just put it this way. The reason why I am against dating in general, if you are in middle school and high school, is simply because it's an idea and a word that the culture has given us. It did not come from a higher authority. It did not come from Scripture. And so even the danger here is even well-meaning Christians can enter into a well-meaning relationship that is far riskier than they were ever aware of. It is far too easy to put yourself in a position you do not have the self-control to handle. Far too easy to trust yourself to think you've got this. Now hear me. The desire to be in a relationship with someone of the opposite gender is a good and right and God-given desire. But every God-given desire has a God-given context. And there's a right time to act on that desire. This is why you have to be careful and seek wisdom on these things. You have to be careful. Don't let the culture guide you. And so I'm going to throw another verse up here that I doubt many of you, maybe some of you have read the book called The Song of Solomon.
Yes!
Not the reaction I was expecting. When we did the suggestion box back in the summer, there were 8 submissions for The Song of Solomon. And if you really want to know, come ask me and I'll give you 8 reasons why we're not going to teach that broadly. Here's what it says in Song of Solomon 8:4. Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right. I've given you a slightly different translation than what you probably have. If you have an ESV or NIV, it's going to read a little differently. I think this translation actually captures it, though, because the emphasis is that there is a proper time to awaken romantic love. Because it is a force. It is very strong. And if you awaken it at an improper time, you are dealing with a force that you're going to have to control. Any guy and girl spending time together alone with good intentions, genuinely well-meaning, attracted to each other in a healthy way, will eventually, by God's design, awaken feelings for each other that are only meant to be expressed in an exclusive, God-sanctioned covenant of marriage. This is why I am against dating at your age. For 99% of cases. Because there is so much potential beauty and goodness in a relationship that there is also so much potential disaster and ways for this all to go sideways. It is a fairly new idea in history, in church history, for Christians to date like most of us think of dating. Because it awakens desires, you then have to exert a serious amount of force to suppress. Not to mention, at your age, it involves so many emotions that you have yet to even understand as you are still developing as young men and women. This is not an accusation. I'm not saying you should be better, you should know better, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you are a teenager, then you are developing right where you should be. But if you enter into a relationship that has no covenant, no cost, does it surprise you then that they rarely end with both parties super happy? If there's a breakup, we usually use a term like breakup, right? So if you are a Christian, currently dating a Christian, if you were listening to all of this, and this is maybe the part where I was like, if I had a judge's gavel, I'd be like, please listen. If you are a Christian, currently dating a Christian, and you've heard everything I've said so far, and maybe mentally you have crossed your arms and you are like, Jordan, I know better. I hear you. I know about those people, but I've got this. I will say you're the ones I am most concerned about. And if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't go here. But you are playing with fire. Because one or both of you are going to get burned. I don't say that to cause you hurt. I really genuinely say that knowing some of you might want to punch me. But I say that as someone who's been on this earth 20 years longer, has talked to a lot of students, and has also dealt with a lot of adults who regret what they did when they were your age. So I don't say this to cause you hurt. I just want you to be sober-minded about this. And I want to remind you of what we just read in Romans 12. Hate what is evil, outdo one another in showing honor. Love her like a sister. Love him like a brother. So what about the 1% of cases? I said I'm against this for 99% of cases. What about the 1%? If you are going to date, what is required? This is the third category I promised. Well, again, if you are a Christian, I am assuming we're only talking about dating Christians. That's requirement kind of number zero. If you're outside that, then we need to have a conversation. Just because you are not playing with fire, you're jumping in a volcano. Just being straight with you all, okay? Do not date to convert. All right. Let me give you three other requirements. I'll throw them up here. And again, I'm arguing these from scripture. This is not thus saith the Lord, but hear me on this. Let me give you three more. If you are the 1% who is going to date, you are a Christian dating another Christian, what is required? You need the blessing of parents. You need to be visible in community, and you need to date to prepare them for their marriage. And I will explain. If you are still under your parents' roof, you are under their authority. Even if you are 18, the culture can call you an adult. If you are living under your parents' roof, you are under their authority. And that is a God-given authority. It's a God-given authority. When to obey them, even when you disagree, even when you think you know better, even when you might actually know better, to obey them is to honor the Lord and say, you put this authority here. If you're the perfect authority, then you can work perfectly through imperfect authorities. If you say you love God, submit to him, but don't submit to your parents, you don't submit to God. If your parents do not allow you to date, or they don't allow you to date a particular someone, but you do it anyway, you are in direct disobedience to God and to your parents. Do you really think that's a relationship he's going to bless? So here's what I mean by seeking the blessing of parents. Seek the blessing of both parents involved. Yours and his or hers, right? You need to seek both sets of parents. And even if you think the parents of someone you want to date are out to lunch, they're wrong, they're puritanical, they're draconian, they're too strict, or they're bad parents, it's not your place to overstep them. It could be, you may look back at this and go, actually, that was God's provision to not end up in that relationship. I didn't know it at the time. He used some wacky means, but I'm really glad actually we didn't get into that relationship. I was not ready. And you may not have that hindsight because you're not there yet. That's fair. But he may be sparing you pain. So trust him. You need your parents' approval and you need the other parents' approval. You need their blessing. You don't want to go into this defying parents. First thing. So second one, you need to be visible in community. And this is what I say, like, I've been in youth ministry 10 years, and I've been here now for 3 years, which is wild. For those of you who've been on the ride for 3 years, hey, sweet, awesome. This is crazy. And I love you too much, so I just have to keep talking here. This is maybe the first thing that I see dropped when a couple your age starts dating. They're talking to their friends. They're like, so-and-so likes me. I'm kind of into this. And then you ask each other out and you, it's like you got raptured. I just had to say a joke to light the mood. I'm sorry. But you pull away. You pull away from friends and from family and from mentors and leaders. If you do that, just go on an experiment with me here. If you do that, what does that say to your friends who've been with you up to this point? You're saying, I don't need you now. I upgraded. I got something better. He's the friend I really wanted. Right? I can like cuddle up next. It's great. Couldn't do that with you. What does that say to your family? Hey, I'm just saying what I've seen. What does that say to your family when you don't let them be part of your family? You want to hide them. You want to hide the person you're dating. You don't want your family's input. You don't want your family's observations. You don't want their care. And you might even be like, oh, I don't like my family, so I'm going to spare them from my family. You are still very clearly telling your family, they're better. And I don't want anything to do with you. a super important relationship in your life, you're going to hide from them? What does that say to your mentors, to your leaders? I trust myself. I got this. Thanks for getting me up to here. I'm good now. So if you are going to date, you need the approval of both parents, both sets of parents. You must be visible in community. And that means you might have to kind of plan things, do things in groups, bring her over for dinner, bring him to the thing that your little brother's doing. This is about keeping yourself above reproach, but it's also so that you are visible to the most influential people in your life. Yes, so they can encourage you in the things that you are doing well, that they see. If they don't see, they don't know. They can't say anything. But also to lovingly confront you about the things that they see that concern them. When a young man and woman hide their relationship, what they're saying ultimately is that I am actually just immature and prideful. It's a kind of hilarious paradox if you think about it, because you're saying you trust yourself so much that you don't need anybody, while at the same time you don't want anyone to criticize you. But think about it, if you were so solid, well, you wouldn't really be afraid of anyone saying anything, right? Because the people in your life would also see the good things to recognize and encourage. I love seeing you handle your relationship so healthfully. So if you are immature and prideful, this is again where I would take the judge's gavel just to get your attention. If this is where you are and this has been your approach to things, it is only a matter of time before someone gets burned. You are playing with fire. So if you have the approval of parents, and if you are doing this right, which I rarely see, rarely, and your relationship is visible in community, then you must do the third thing. I'm going to say this one's kind of the most important. Here's what I mean. You need to be dating someone, if you're dating, for their marriage. If you're currently dating, this is maybe, I'm sorry, I'm going to wet blanket the whole situation right now, but just, you can be mad at me, that's fine. If you are currently dating, you are most likely dating someone else's future spouse. There is such a thing as high school sweethearts. It's just not common. Could you be the exception? Absolutely. Could you do all these things right? Yes, that's why we're talking about them. But you are probably not the exception. You are probably the norm. And so if you are going to date, remember, love one another with sibling affection, with brotherly affection. So what does that mean to love someone like family, like a sibling? You remember, you're growing up together. It's someone you grow up with. So dating someone for their marriage, to prepare them for their marriage, means loving them in that kind of relationship so that they grow. If they need you, or you emotionally manipulate them to where they're attached to you, that's not growing. But if you are preparing them for marriage, then you are seeing them grow as an individual, as a sibling. And what I mean by preparing for their marriage is it's either marriage to you or to someone else. But either way, you're preparing them for their marriage. When people say, like, date to marry, I would prefer you think of it this way. Because if you're 14, your parents are like, yep, cool with it, and you're doing all the right things, and you're dating to marry, it's like, listen, homegirl, we got a ways. It's like, we're not going to get married as juniors, right? Again, if that's where you are, come talk to me. So this is my loose definition of Christian dating. Pursuing someone in relationship to prepare them for their marriage. Told you I would give you a good definition here, and this is my best attempt. Pursuing someone in relationship to prepare them for their marriage. Whether that is marriage to you or to someone else, either way, you are seeing them grow as an individual. And so as we close here, if you acknowledge that dating at this age means you're most likely dating someone else's future spouse, then just consider this thought experiment. You graduate high school, and in 10 years, you have a high school reunion, and you run into that former boyfriend or girlfriend and their spouse. They're married now. You get to meet their spouse. And let's say that spouse pulls you aside, and they speak to you with total honesty. What would they say? Would it be like, hey, I heard about you. Can I just say thank you? I can tell you cared for her well. Our marriage, honestly, is better for it because you were a good friend. You were a good sibling in Christ. Thank you. Or would it be something like, I wish she had never met you, if I'm being honest. I love her to the heavens and back, and we've been married for a few years now, but I'm still picking up the pieces of what you broke. Thanks to you. Ladies, this can go the other way too. You can get a guy to go out with you for all the wrong reasons. Give him all the wrong ideas. Awaken love too soon. And he might carry guilt or shame or self-loathing with him into his marriage. Or his wife might have really much more appreciative words for you for how you treated him. You are all siblings in Christ. Are you loving each other with brotherly affection? So in general, I'm against the idea of dating for 99% of cases. If you are the 1%, you need the approval of both sets of parents so that God blesses it. You need to be visible in community, and you need to date for the other person's benefit. Now, again, this is what I'm arguing to you. So you can argue with me, but here's where I'm gonna end things. If you have been in a destructive relationship, you've sinned against the person you're dating or have dated, sinned against God, or even sinned against yourself, there is nothing the Lord can't forgive. There is no sin too great. You know what the sixth graders just did? We did a little surprise Easter egg hunt all around the church. Most of their eggs have jelly beans in them. Some of their eggs have rocks. And when they opened them, the illustration Liam just gave them was that we can all look really good on the outside, but some of us on the inside, we see just how rotten we really are. And then Liam took up all of their rocks and said, actually, all of you not only need your rocks removed, which is all of us, not just the special ones, all of us need our sins removed, but we also need something given in its place. And he gave him a gold chocolate coin to symbolize you don't just need your sins taken away, you also need Christ's righteousness. You need to be counted as perfect, even though you weren't. You may have dated sinfully. You may have done things terribly. You may be recognizing that right now. And there is nothing the Lord won't forgive. There is no sin too great. There is nothing he's going to reject or say, my blood's not enough for that, or I'm not enough for that, or you've gone too far. You are not too far gone. And lastly, whether you have sinned or you have been marred by the effects of sin, you have been sinned against, in particular, maybe in relationship. You are not damaged goods. You are precious in his sight, in the sight of Jesus. He is the ultimate pursuer of love. And he's gentle. And so if he came to die for his bride, to wash her as white as snow, then he understands love. He understands relationship, attraction, emotions. He made all of this. He understands what you're going through. There's no one he doesn't understand, no one he'll turn away. And so if I have kind of put my hand on a bruise tonight, or you've felt the Holy Spirit even lead you in something tonight, convicted you, or feel like you got to talk through something, that is why we are here. And so I'm just asking, talk to your leaders, come talk to me, talk to a dear friend, be in community on these things. Don't deal with any of this alone. Heavenly Father, we just rather bluntly ask for your help, because these are such tender and difficult things. And while we might be playing with fire, Lord, we also see that there's goodness here, and we want to honor it. We want to respect it for what it is. And it's to be in a covenant relationship is a good thing you've made. So as we talk about dating, what it even means, Lord, would you truly help us and heal us and lead us and guide us, nurture us, so that we do what is wise, we have appropriate caution around the right things, and also celebrate and celebrate the things that you've given us that are good, and do as you say because you are for us. Help us. Help us to honor you and one another as we love each other with sibling affection. In Jesus' name, amen.